Amen. Thank you, Brother Michael. The Bible said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. He's upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. There was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. His sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now." I sure am glad God's got a big old hand. And I want to tell you, he said, "Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse you to thy face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, but put forth not thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Verse 13, "There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. The Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they've slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped along to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'The fire of God's fallen from heaven, hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped along to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'The Chaldeans made out 3 bands, fell upon the camels, have carried them away, yet have slain the servants of the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord give, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you. We sure do need you this morning. Help us to be a blessing. God, I pray you touch hearts like only you, our great God, can do. Touch those on the prayer list that we've prayed for today and help them and their families. We pray for our nation today, God, in this hour. Lord, you'd help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I'm interested today in Job chapter 1 and 2, but in a text verse, I want you to notice in chapter number 1, then I want you to look at verse number 7. Job 1 and 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. I want to preach on this thought this morning on God still sets high while the devil steps low. God still sets high while the devil steps low. Somebody said about the book of Job, it's three things as far as an overview of this book. First of all, it will instruct us that God is right. Number two, Job was sincere. And number three, the devil is wrong. Now, I'm glad that God still sets high. You say, preacher, why you say that? God asked him, said, Devil, where you been? He said, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. Now, didn't say that he went up too awfully high. He did meet God in the heavens in a conference. But honey, he's way lower than where he used to sit because God has cast him out the responsibility that he had in a heavenly world. And when he fell to this world, a third of heaven fell with him. The angels that followed him, being Lucifer. Now they're walking around in this world, and you must look and admit the devil's having a heyday in our world. Don't take you long to realize that the devil steps real low. But I don't want to leave you with that thought in the sermon today. I want you to see before you leave here that our God still sets real high. Now, I want to say today that Job, he was a man that had a name among the East that everybody knew who Job was. If you mentioned Job, all of a sudden it would come up of how much God had blessed him and what a good and a righteous man that Job was. And so I want to show you, first of all, a treasured life. A treasured life. Many of you have a treasured life. I have a treasured life. I love living. I'm thankful of how God has, first of all, saved me one day as a sinner and needed the good grace of God. And He drew me by His mercy and His love and offered unto me that of repentance through faith. I sure am glad one day God saved me. Then God let me have one of the greatest families that a man could ever have. Give me one of the greatest churches to pastor and some of the greatest friends that a man has ever had. Now I'm going to tell you something. God has been good to me and God has been good to you. And so we see this treasured life. Now look, if you would, in verse number 1, his straightness. The Bible simply said that he was perfect and upright. Then not only his straightness, but look at his spirituality. The Bible said that he is one that he feared God. Now, I want to say a man fears God when he doesn't do anything that he knows to be wrong. And when he does all that he knows to be right. Job feared God. Job was not terrified of God. This Bible word has to do with that of respect. Job respected God. We ought to raise all of our children and our family that we should reverence and we should respect God that sets way up high this morning. Now he had a treasured life. We see his straightness, and then we see his spirituality. He feared God. But then look at his separation. He said, one that eschewed evil. He loved God, but he hated sin. The Bible said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Young people, you ain't got to go look for trouble. Trouble will come looking for you. You better serve God and stay separated while you can, because trouble will come find you. I want to say his straightness, his spirituality, and his separation. I've never seen, and I want to try to always get this across. A preacher's got to preach truth to his people. And the Word of God is still right in this day and hour. But you listen to me, folks. God never intended for the church to look like the world. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Now listen, if we come to the house of God and it's no different than any other place, then we've wasted gas to get here. But I sure am glad that we can go to a church that's separated from this old wicked world, but still loves sinners. Gotta be balanced. Don't let the world consume you. Sometimes, if it's ever been a time in my life where a light has come on, in the last 6 months, a light has come on where I need to challenge our people and charge our people. You've got to disconnect from this world and find time with God and find time with your family, because we've all got way too busy. Now, I want to say his separation, he eschewed evil. He withdrawn himself from... I want to say something, maybe I can help somebody today. It's always good to have boundaries in our life. Boundaries keep us safe. Borders keep us safe. And I want to say you better put some boundaries and borders up in your life, that you'll purpose in your heart that you won't go near, so if you trip and stumble, you won't fall over the boundary. You must learn to keep your life committed to God and separated from this old world. Not isolated, but insulated. You hear me? Not isolated. This world needs a light on, but insulated, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now notice verses 2 and 3. Not only separation, but now look at his substance. The Bible said that there were born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had a great multitude of possessions. Matter of fact, he was the greatest of all the men of the East. He was a man well-to-do, but he had not forgotten the blesser in the blessing. His substance. Verse 5, this is what I want you to look at. It's a few highlights in this sermon that I feel like God's talking at. This is one of them in verse 5. Not only his substance, but now look at his sacrifice. Verse 5, it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. You say, his sacrifice, preacher, what are you talking about? Yeah, he was making sacrifices for his children. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're ever going to have children, you're going to have to learn to make sacrifices for your children. Sacrifices maybe of your wants, and sacrifices of your patience, and sacrifices of your flesh. You're going to have to make sacrifices for your children to keep them in your family. And I want to say today, there's not many mom and daddies making sacrifices for their children. They're sending them in a fast pace out to the world or to a ball field, and they not even got an inkling of God about them. Mom and daddies, it's time that the people of God, that are parents, go to having some sacrifices in their life concerning their children. I think we ought to be having some sacrifices in our life for our grandchildren. Now, this thing to do with his children. I heard Billy Graham preaching last night on one of the Memorial Day specials. There was the old man of God preaching, and he is preaching to a coliseum of people that had good singing before the preaching. He gets up and he said something, and I just talked to one of my preacher friends texting. And all of a sudden, Brother Billy Graham said something that stood up in my heart. He said, there was a man where we was in a town. And he's talking about how short life is. He said that a young boy was lost. And the mom and daddy realized he didn't come home at dark. And about midnight, they got so concerned that they woke up all of the neighbors. They notified all the authorities and said, my boy is lost. And the Holy Ghost rose this up in my heart. Brother Mike, I wonder why that people, if your child is missing, you would search diligently. You wouldn't lay down so casually, but you would be stirred and you would be up and looking for them because you love them. But can I say, as your preacher this morning, if your children are not saved by the grace of God and they're lost, it ought to disturb you and have you go to looking for them through the spiritual eye of faith this morning. I guarantee you one thing. If my little grand young'uns went over that farm and come up missing, Brother Lee, I wouldn't lay down and go to sleep. I wouldn't get me a Coke and get in my recliner. I'd be concerned. I'd be looking for that was lost. Mom and daddies, we better get back on our knees and go to praying about our children. Many are lost, and how we need God to find them in this day and this hour. We see Job and his treasured life. We see Job and his tentative look. Verse number 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. See, it's going to come a time that everybody's got to report in to God. Now, you can look and study. You'll find out that these sons of God were simply angels came to report in to God at His throne. And Satan come among them. You'll notice in this thought, there is a tentative look. You'll see in verse number 6, there was an account, there was a day. And then secondly, there was an activity. He said, where you been at, devil? He said, I've been walking to and fro in this world. You say, preacher, I don't believe in God. Well, it won't take you long to look at this world. You can believe in a devil. And honey, God is real and the devil, sure. And you better get saved or you'll die and go to hell in your sin this morning. I want to say he's walking to and fro. There was an account, there was an activity, but thirdly, there was an asking. Verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. He's perfect, upright. He's a man that feareth God and escheweth evil. So you'll see there was an asking. But look in verse 9. There's an accusation. That's just like the devil. He loves to accuse you. The devil's in the accusing business. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, ha! Doth Job fear God for naught? He is making fun of Job before God. You know what he said and bowed in vernacular? He said, the only reason Job's a coming to church, the only reason Job's a serving you is for what he can get out of you. An accusation. Can I tell you the devil's not changed? He loves to accuse all of God's children in this day. and this hour. Look in Revelation, hold your place, but I want you to see this in your Bible. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 12. We'll see this accusing. The Bible said in Revelation, chapter number 12, and verse number 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there found any more place in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, here it is. Now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I want to say the accuser of the brethren, honey, the devil's taking notes of what you're doing for God, too. That's why the devil don't encourage you for coming to the house of God. Why he don't encourage you for living a life with God? He'll tell you how bad you are, what a failure you are, and you're a hopeless case. But, honey, I come to tell you this morning, there is no hopeless case at bloody Calvary. I'm glad that the blood of Jesus can wash all away our sins. In this day, in this hour, the devil will tell you you're no good. You're sinned and God won't forgive you. But the devil is an accuser of the brethren, and he's a liar this morning. I'm glad he's a liar this morning. He will accuse you to the bottom. Accuse. I've seen him get on my wife in such a way of accusing her. She would absolutely be cut to the quick and to the bone by his accusations. But I want to tell my wife this morning, she's a great wife. She's a great mother. She's a good preacher's wife, and she is my best friend. And the devil is a liar. You need to look down in your soul this morning and tell the devil he's a liar to you. God will bless you. God is good. And it does pay to serve God in a dark and a dying hour this morning. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved today. He will accuse you to the bottom. He don't want you to have any hope, any joy, any peace. He is your accuser. He's accusing the brethren before God. Look what the Bible said, day and night. He never takes rest. A tentative look. There's an account. There's an activity. There's an asking. There's an accusation. Verse 12 of Job, chapter number 1, there's an authorization. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Verse 13, look how busy, how quick he got. You know, the devil done tried to get Job. I want to say this morning, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell this morning. If God didn't have a hedge about you, you wouldn't have nothing to go home to today. You better be glad there's a sovereign God that's raised a hedge up around you and your wife and your loved ones. You better be glad there's a sovereign God that has raised a hedge up around the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church. We need God to raise the hedge up around our families and around our homes and around my life. And the last thing I need to do is go crazy and tear down my own hedge this morning. God's trying to bless me. God's trying to bless you. And honey, you better realize there's a devil that wants to destroy you this morning. Devil said, I done been down his house. I couldn't get in over there. You had it fenced up so high I couldn't get in. I'm glad, glory, I'm glad there's a God that can keep His children fenced in this morning. Now you'll see a treasured life. Then here we see a tentative look. Verse 13, not only an authorizing, there was a great affliction. I want to get down to where I need to get this morning. But I want you to notice, if you would, how the Word of God unfolds. Job chapter 1, verse 14, there came a messenger. Said the oxen was plowing, the ass's feet, and the Sabaeans fell upon them, took them away. Note now, not only this treasure life, tentative look, but look at this tragic loss. Everybody heard about it. The Sabaeans fell. Verse 16, this amazing thing, I'll give you something to study. Fire fell from heaven. Fire. And then I give you another thought right here. Look in verse 17, the Chaldeans came, took all his servants away. Now verse 19, this is where he falls to his knees. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men. They're dead. And I only escaped along to tell you. You mean the devil messes with the wind? Wasn't it amazing that Jesus in Mark chapter number 4 walked out when the winds and the waves and rebuked them? If God would have sent that wind, Jesus would have never rebuked the Father. You hear me this morning? I believe with all my heart there are times that God allows the devil to mess with the elements. Tragic loss. I want to say this morning to somebody. Faith does not make us insensitive to loss. Faith does not make us insensitive to loss. Jesus wept at Lazarus' grave. How my heart is pulled and torn to so many families that are hurting, struggling. You say, preacher, has the devil caused it? I want to say this morning by the authority of the Word of God. All I know to be scripturally correct is to tell you this, whatever has happened to you, God has allowed it. It's not taken Him by surprise, nor has it been an accident. God is a sovereign God that runs things. And there's things that He's allowed to happen in my life that even though I've tried to have great faith, it did not mean that I was insensitive to hurt. This morning, a tragic loss. Look, if you would, in verse 20, there's a tremendous love. This is where you better get down in your soul, where I better get implanted in something. Job chapter number 1, verse 14, this tragic loss. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. His tremendous love. First of all, look at his priority in worship. I hear folks say, well, this happened. I'm not going to serve God no more. It didn't affect Job that way. It brought Job closer. So many people look for excuses not to come to church. You better be hunting some excuses why to come to church to worship your God in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to tell you something. He didn't blame this on God. When hard times hit you, don't blame it on God. Just realize, for we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. You've got a God that can be trusted this morning. His priority. Look at his perspective. Verse 21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. Let me tell you something, folks. It's not wrong to have things. I think everybody ought to have goals, visions. But you always remember this, we're not taking none of these assets out of here with us. The old man that died, some of the family that gathered around ready to read the will, had the big high-profile lawyer there, and that old greedy one stood up and said, "What'd he leave?" The lawyer said, "Everything." Some of y'all get that tomorrow evening, you cutting your watermelon. He left it all. 100%. Honey, I'm telling you, there's one thing I can get here that I can go there with it. That's the peace of God that passes all understanding. Hey! Now, I want to show you what the Lord has showed me in studying this week. There was a tragic loss, but there was a tremendous love. His priority, he worshipped. His perspective, naked came out. Look at the providence the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care what you've obtained in this world. You always remember that this Bible says this, the Lord giveth. That's why we ought to thank Him every chance we get. Thank You, Lord, for the life You've given me. Thank You for the air that I can breathe. I want to say this today, and I don't want you to shake your head when I say it. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I mean, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. You've heard my sermon, my life. The Lord's allowed some things to happen that brought adjustments to my life. I needed it. I didn't understand it, and I didn't want it. But it came. Now I want to say that I didn't understand it, I didn't want it, and I didn't welcome it. But I found out during that I worship my God and trust Him with everything I've got that's in me. And I want to say, it's a tremendous love. There's the priority of worship. There's the perspective. There's the providence. Lord gave, Lord take away. And then there's the purity. Verse 22. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God food. He didn't blame God for nothing. You better underline that in your Bible. He didn't blame God for this. He trusted God in it. Now, Job is a long book. It's an amazing book, so detailed. Job even gets so low. Now, when he lost these things, there was another meeting, Brother Johnny. The sons of God came again and Satan. And Job said he was sitting there with everything gone. And then the devil makes another accusation. And this is what God tells him. He said, okay. He said, you can go further, devil. I don't know where you are this morning, but I can tell you one thing. The devil can't go no further than where God lets him come. And you better raise your little Baptist hand toward glory and say, thank you, God. Thank you, dear God. Hey, could y'all imagine what the devil was thinking when it was a handful of people right over yonder in a kudzu patch, come through a gate and grabbed hands and went to praying one evening, God, just give us this property, had no idea what God would do. Could you imagine Don't you think the devil sensed some stuff and how he would have loved to close this thing up? I sure am glad that God's got boundaries set that the devil can't get across. And let me tell you something, what I've learned in pastoring and preaching. You might can hinder the church, but you won't shut it down. God's church is alive and well. Now praise Him this morning. I'm glad I got to preach this morning. Now I want to show you something. I think it's the key. I think it's one of the keys to the whole book. And I've seen it this week and I want to share it with my church. And I want you to look at it because it's my last thought and I'm going to be done preaching this morning. I want to say that God still sets way high while the devil steps real low. There's a treasured life. There's a tentative look. There is a tragic loss. There's a tremendous love, but there is a teaching Lord. A teaching Lord, sure is. I want you to see it. Now here's the thought. Turn to Job 42. I'll be done this morning. Job 42. Some of the writers say that Job lived in the day of Abraham, around the same setting, in the land there at Palestine. Now here it is in Job 42, the teaching Lord. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. Miss Jennifer, if you'd come please. If you underline your Bible, I want you to write something right here, and I want you always to remember this. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Write this in the margin of your Bible, if you write in your Bible. God didn't give Job a reason. He gave him a revelation. Job found out God didn't have to give him a reason. He gave him a revelation. What did he see? He seen how bad, how wicked that Job really was, and how big and how high God really is. You see, when trials come in our life, God don't have to give us a reason. But it sure does help when God gives a revelation. God is holy. God does nothing wrong. He does all things right. Father, we love You today. Lord, it sure does help me in my hurt.